Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be here today to respond to questions about this very important settlement. I want to first, at the outset, let all of you know that this is has been, from day one, an incredibly high priority for this administration to see if we could resolve this long-running Cobell lawsuit. It's taken 13 years, hundreds of millions of dollars in litigation on both sides, 20 appellate opinions, dozens, literally, of hearings and trials, scores, in fact, of hearings and trials. And it's been a corrosive case that has hurt the relationship between the United States and Indian country. From day one, Hillary Tompkins, to my left, the first ever American Indian solicitor at the Department of the Interior, and I, on behalf of the Secretary, took this on personally to see if we could, through our personal involvement at the highest levels, break through what had been 13 years of failure, basically, to try to reach closure on this. We were joined at the hip by Attorney General Eric Holder and his top Associate Deputy Attorney General, Tom Perrelli. We were personally engaged in these discussions, and we worked with a team that represents the class affected by this settlement. The 300,000 to 500,000 individual Indians are represented through the class action by the team of lawyers and their relentless and impressive Eloise Cobell, whom you'll hear about, hear from in the next panel. We feel that this settlement is a fair settlement and an appropriate settlement. I'm going to defer to Tom to talk about some of the legal aspects that have been raised in this hearing. Let me just mention a couple issues of special importance to the Department of the Interior and our trust responsibility to the individual Indians who have trust accounts and to tribes who have trust accounts. It is our view that we need to resolve these historical issues and set the course and turn the page and look ahead and repair our management of trust assets with the tribes and look ahead and not behind. Toward that end, it was very important to the United States, and we think it's very important for this Congress, that this chapter be closed, that the backward-looking of historical accounting be fully accounted for and resolved. And that means not just the question of whether the accounting has been done, but also the woven into the issue is the question of, in addition to the accounting, the green eyeshade work, have the assets themselves been mismanaged? That was all an important element. And we thought if we just resolved the question of the accounting and didn't deal with the question of mismanagement, we'd be back here spending literally $50 million a year as far as the eye could see. So we went to the class, and the class will work with the judge, as Tom will explain, to work through that element of the settlement. We wanted to close the book and look ahead. And toward that end, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, as explained in my written testimony, as soon as this settlement goes forward, we are impaneling a new commission to ensure that as we move forward with our trust management, we are taking the best of what we have learned over the last 13 years. We will hire folks. We're going to have a five-member panel, well represented by Indian country. We're going to look at what worked, at what didn't, and we're going to see how we reorganize the department in terms of the trust management issues. We have an Office of Special Trustee. We have a Bureau of Indian Affairs with different responsibilities and some conflicts in terms of customer service at the least. We want to do it right. This was a very important point by Eloise Cobell and her colleagues here, and we accept it. We want to move forward and do this right going forward. Let me finally, one aspect of doing it right going forward that we were very insistent on is that part of the problem that led to Cobell is the fractionation of Indian lands and the fact that over time we now have 4 million individual interests in highly fractionated tracts of land that do nobody any good. And the expense is enormous, and the opportunity for error and mismanagement is enormous. So we worked with the plaintiffs to have, as part of this settlement, a resolution of that root cause problem of fractionation. That's why the $2 billion associated with getting money back into the pockets of these individual Indians and at the same time freeing up those lands and taking away the root cause of these errors, of these individual accounts, is so important and why we're so excited about the settlement. Let me say finally that in terms of how we implement that settlement, we are looking forward to vigorous government-to-government consultations with all of the tribes on how we implement, to your point, Congressman Heinrich, the land consolidation program, because this is going to be a benefit to the tribes as well as to the individual Indians who are settling in this matter. And we want their help in terms of prioritizing lands that should be acquired through this program and working with them every step of the way. And as we can talk about in the Q&A, we're anxious to make sure the word and understanding about this settlement gets out in Indian country. We've done a number of outreach efforts already. We're ready to do more. We frankly thought it presumptuous to go out and assume that this settlement would be approved by the court and by the Congress without getting your approval first. And we look forward to getting that in the near future. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, and thank you, Chairman Rahal, Ranking Member Hastings, and other members of the committee. The litigation known as now Cobell versus Salazar has lasted 13 years and has been an extraordinarily important issue for this committee and for the United States, and it has cast a shadow on the United States nation-to-nation relationship with tribal governments and their members. We at the Justice Department view the December 7th settlement as historic and think that we're given a choice of now ending that litigation finally or returning to the courtroom. And we think the opportunity presented by the settlement is worth seizing because we think it's fair to the plaintiffs responsible for the United States and provides a path, as Mr. Hayes said, for moving forward in the future. We very much welcome the opportunity to answer questions and dispel some of the misconceptions about the settlement. As has already been discussed, the settlement contains many key elements that members of Congress from both parties have sought to address in prior efforts to resolve this matter. It resolves historical accounting claims by providing a $1,000 check to be sent to each member of the class and bringing the government and each holder of an individual Indian money account into agreement on the balance of each account. And I would say that that piece of the settlement, the language that was quoted in the prior panel, addresses just accounting claims, not the trust mismanagement claims. So I don't think there's any uncertainty there. Second, the settlement also addresses trust administration or mismanagement claims. Those are claims that allege over the years the government has mismanaged hundreds of thousands of acres of land and millions of dollars, including proceeds from them, that it holds in trust for individual Native Americans. Over the last 14 years, these claims have long been linked with this lawsuit. Much of the litigation over the last 14 years has been about what has been in the lawsuit and what has been out of the lawsuit. Many of the efforts in Congress, including the efforts that came out of the 109th Congress, sought to finally resolve both the accounting claims and potential trust mismanagement claims all together because it was recognized, I think, by everyone that bringing these matters to final resolution was a benefit to everyone and that if we were left with the specter of years of litigation about mismanagement claims, we really wouldn't have achieved very much. Under the settlement, the complaint will be amended to make clear that the trust administration claims are part of the case, and each and every plaintiff in the class will receive a payment based on a formula reviewed and approved by the court. The payments, in addition to the $1,000 for the historical accounting for that class, will start at $500, but will range up, in some cases, to hundreds of thousands of dollars for individual Native Americans. And all told, between the accounting and the trust mismanagement claims, the plaintiff class will be receiving approximately $1.4 billion. In contrast to what was intimated in the last panel, there is no reversion of that $1.4 billion to the government. That $1.4 billion will go to class members. To the extent that there may be unclaimed funds, there's a provision that allows that to go for scholarship funds. Finally, as Mr. Hayes said, there is a framework for addressing the problem of fractionated lands and a path forward so that we are not in this position again in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years, in 50 years. We very much appreciate the opportunity to answer questions about this settlement, and we have tried to be as transparent as possible from the outset of this process. As soon as the settlement was reached, In December of 2009, the Secretary, the Deputy Secretary, and the Solicitor of the Department of Interior had a call with tribal leaders across the nation to inform them about the settlement. The Department of Interior and I have participated in hearings before the Senate Indian Affairs Committee and sat before tribal leaders at the National Congress of American Indians and answered all questions that were raised. And federal representatives have appeared before other tribal organizations, and I know Ms. Scobell and her counsel have engaged in similar outreach. Going forward, when we talk about notice to class members and the opportunity for even more outreach, what we have done to date is really only the beginning. Once the legislation passes and the settlement is formally filed with the court for preliminary approval, that will trigger the notification provisions of Rule 23 and will result in a robust notice. And we include that individual letters sent to class members that will provide an explanation of the settlement. And then we envision significant outreach, including radio, television, and other means to ensure that there's the maximum amount of information to all class members so that they will have the opportunity to consider. And then they will be able to go before the judge and object to the judge, consider opting out, object to particular parts of the settlement, but through the ordinary process that occurs with class action. So we think that there are, going forward, going to be enormous opportunities for class members to review and comment on the settlement. Thank you to the committee for this hearing, and we look forward to answering your questions.